You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Now, a warning. We're about to tackle a subject some listeners may find disturbing. The story we talked about at the top of the show. When someone you love dies, there are many options for what to do with the body. Cremation, burial, or donation to science. But what happens to these donated bodies? An investigation by Reuters looked at this question and found a vast business in body parts. The series is called The Body Trade, and Reuters Enterprise correspondent Brian Groh is one of the reporters who worked on it. I asked him how the market for body parts works and what the rules are that govern it.
As part of our research, Lizzie, you know, we found, following a thorough review of existing laws, that there's no federal law governing the private body donation market, and few meaningful laws at the state level. Most of the laws that do exist were written for the transplant side of the donation industry. And we're talking here about the non-transplant side, research and education. And so we said, well, given that it appears private brokers are largely left to their own devices to decide what their policies and procedures will be on who they will sell the parts to, why not ask? And so we sent out some requests in my name with my email address and my company. And indeed, the broker in Tennessee ultimately sold us a spine and two heads.
You also worked backward and figured out who the spine came from. Who was Cody Saunders and what happened to him?
Cody Saunders was a 24-year-old man in Tennessee who lived with his parents, Richard and Angie. We didn't know anything about any of the donors of the specimens that we received at first. And it was only because of some unique characteristics of Cody that he passed away at a young age, and we knew the age at death from the documentation, and we knew the date of death. Cody had had some 66 surgeries and more than 1,700 rounds of dialysis in his life. But when he passed away, as Richard and Angie said, they didn't have another choice. And what Richard meant by that is he didn't have the funds for a normal cremation or burial. They had 3 days to have his body removed from the hospital. And it wasn't until the second day that a relative came to them after identifying the body broker, Restore Life, and said, you know, this is an option because it comes with a free cremation.
What did they think was going to happen to him?
They made an erroneous assumption that there would just be skin samples and at one point Richard said fluid taken. But that's not the case. The consent form says that the broker has sole discretion to decide what they will take and to whom they will distribute it. And unlike most other consent forms from brokers that we reviewed, and we reviewed more than a dozen, this particular one did not say that there would be, to use the industry term, disarticulation of the body, the removal of head, arms, and legs. So they didn't have a full understanding.
So a body broker can just turn around and sell the parts?
They can. That's the business model. When there are gaps in regulation in a market, in a niche, you know, entrepreneurs will identify the opportunity and take advantage of it for as long as possible. In this case, you know, it is not illegal to sell non-transplant body parts. And so that's what's happening.
How big is this industry?
The data is really hard to come by. You know, despite the fact that there are a substantial number of firms, some of them now quite large. One, the largest broker, is receiving well over 5,000 bodies a year. There's a lack of data on who's in the business, how many bodies they get, and how many parts they distribute, and what they're paid for it. We determined that in the last 5 years, the private market has received at least 50,000 bodies and distributed close to 200,000 parts. But those are almost certainly conservative figures because they're cobbled together from just a handful of states, four in total.
For a little context, I know this sounds a bit macabre, but what did a spine cost you, and how does that compare to an intact body?
The spine cost $300 plus shipping. The heads cost $300 plus shipping, but the shipping cost was a little higher. The rate for a whole body, based on price lists, price quotes, and actual sales that we compiled in the course of the research from seven different brokers, is $3,000 to $5,000. But it all depends. How quickly the client needs it, it may cost more. If the client is a frequent buyer, then they may get bulk discounts. So it's like any other business. I mean, what we're talking about here is the commodification of the human body.
There is an inherent tension in this, right? If there are good actors who are using cadavers or body parts for scientific research that, let's say, down the road saves lives, but bad actors abusing or misusing bodies, how do we know? Is there any way to know?
There's no way to know. To give you an example, we identified more brokers who have operated in the market than the brokers that we have interviewed even knew about. In other words, firms would pop up on the radar and established players would go, who's that? And, you know, we would say, well, they operate from this funeral home in Colorado. Or they, you know, formed the firm with an address at their house and were going to use the garage in Pennsylvania. There's an utter lack of transparency in the broker market. And so we don't know who's getting bodies and what they're ultimately doing with them. This is vitally important to research and education, without question. But we can do this right. And right begins with clear rules and transparency about who's in the business and how they go about acquiring and then distributing the body parts.
Brian Groh is an enterprise correspondent with Reuters, and we've got a link to his series, The Body Trade, on our website, marketplace.org. Brian, thank you.
Thank you, Lizzie.